Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're plunging headfirst into, well, a really unique and sprawling online conversation. Our sources come from what started as just a discussion thread for the webcomic Homestuck, but wait, it quickly exploded. It turned into this fascinating, sometimes bewildering mix of internet culture, gaming commentary, and some very unfiltered social discourse.
Yeah, what's really interesting here is that, okay, it starts niche, right? Homestuck. But the thread just broadens out so fast. It gives you this raw, kind of uncurated snapshot of all these different online viewpoints. So our mission in this deep dive is really to unpack this pretty chaotic material. We want to pull out the most important bits of knowledge and help you understand the dynamics, you know, the things happening in these fast-moving digital spaces. And just to be clear, we're doing this without judgment or endorsing any specific views you'll hear about.
Exactly. And you'll discover some surprising facts, some real aha moments about everything from like fan-made projects and their struggles to really niche gaming debates. And yeah, even some of the more extreme unvarnished opinions that circulate online. Okay, so let's dive in and unpack what these sources show us. We should probably start with the thread's foundation. The Homestuck webcomic itself. It's actually a great example of how just one fan community can sort of mirror these bigger internet trends.
Mm-hmm. And it brings up a really important question. How do these dedicated fan communities actually adapt? How do they keep going when the original thing, the comic in this case, evolves or, you know, hits roadblocks? We see this playing out clearly in the discussions around Andrew Hussey. He's the creator, often called Hootie in the source material. Mm-hmm. Some users were pretty blunt, suggesting he was borderline creatively bankrupt from the offset, or that he always needed other people to fill in the gaps for him. Pretty harsh critiques.
Yeah, but the community's focus, it wasn't just on his creative work, was it? The thread went deep, like really deep, into Hussey's personal life too. The commentary on his relationships is, well, very public and often quite critical. The source notes his divorce from Michaela, right? And then his dating of Ariska Kinney, which, for context, is fan speak for someone who really identifies with, or maybe cosplays as, the Homestuck character, Ariska. And the thread highlights a 21-year age gap, uses terms like groom bride beard, and something about sexual market value only grows. What does this intense focus on a creator's private life actually tell us about the boundaries, or maybe the lack of them, in these online fandoms?
Well, it really illustrates a stark reality of online communities, doesn't it? The creator often becomes almost as much a character as their own creations. Their personal lives get dissected, debated. It shows how blurred those lines between public and private can get in digital spaces. And beyond the creator himself, the community's own efforts to, like, preserve and extend the work are also really detailed in the thread. The Homestuck collection, for instance, is noted as being down, which then prompted people to create mirror sites like unofficial-h-collection.card.co.
Right, so they're trying to keep it alive.
Exactly. And fans trying to make their own fan adventure sites, they run into all sorts of technical headaches, issues with cookies, markup language, even getting the fonts exactly right for the pester logs. Those are the chat logs in the comic. Like, down to the difference between Courier STD and Courier New, tiny details matter. Oh, and there's some strong feeling against MSPFA too, which is a big platform for these fan works. One user just flat out says, "I hate MSPFA."
So these fans are obviously super dedicated, but what do these struggles, you know, with cookies and markup, what does that really tell us about maybe the long-term survival of these very specific community-run archives?
It suggests it's a constant fight, doesn't it? A battle against, like, digital entropy, things just falling apart online.
Yeah. That makes sense. And these fan efforts, they aren't just about saving the past, right? There are also these adaptation projects mentioned, like Epic Multiverse Annihilation and Epic Universe Next Generations. But the fan reaction sounds kind of mixed. Some are hopeful, talking about HS old head passion mixed with new teen short attention spans, maybe making it a big hit. Mm-hmm. But others sound pretty cynical about whether they'll be done well.
Right, the competence question comes up.
It makes you wonder what happens to these big digital works once they're officially finished.
Yeah.
Will Homestuck just eventually die, fade away? Or could it be, as one user put it, retold every 14 years like Batman? That's quite an image.
It is. A sort of digital folklore, maybe.
Okay. Moving on from Homestuck itself, this is where the thread really, really branches out. It moves beyond Homestuck pretty quickly to cover these much broader conversations in gaming, digital media. It shows how these different online groups actually share a lot of the same cultural touchstones and maybe the same frustrations, too.
Absolutely. This section gives us a really fascinating window into what online users are interested in, entertainment-wise, and how critical they can be. We see this term pop up slopcasts. It seems to mean like casual, often unpolished podcasts or commentary.
Yeah.
Very raw. One user mentioned wanting a slopcast on UHC drama. UHC meaning ultra hardcore Minecraft. There was some drama there apparently. And this reflects, I think, a desire for that immediate unfiltered reaction to online events. Like, people want the raw take, not something super polished.
Slopcast. That's a great term. What do you think that says about the kind of content people are looking for now, especially maybe compared to slick, highly produced stuff? Is it about authenticity?
Could be. Authenticity, immediacy, maybe just a reaction against overproduction. Hard to say for sure, but it's there.
And the gaming debates in the thread, they get really specific. Pokemon, for example. There's discussion comparing Gen 8 and Gen 9. Features like Terra and Gigantpox, which refers to terrestrialization from Gen 9 and Gigantamax from Gen 8, the big battle gimmicks.
The mechanics.
Yeah. And users get into super tactical discussions, like the move Protect and how it works differently in doubles versus singles battles, how the format changes strategy. Someone even noted Metatroids won a tournament, which must be a specific team or player known in that scene. What really comes through isn't just I like Pokemon, it's this highly analytical, very opinionated user base. They engage with game mechanics, narratives, almost like professional critics sometimes. These forums become like de facto design feedback sessions.
Exactly. And that deep level of engagement, it's not just Pokemon. Look at Shin Megami Tensei, or Megaten as they call it. The discussions there go into game writing. The pros and cons of using real-world myths versus making up new ones, even the problem of evil trope, you know, that philosophical question about how evil exists if there's an all-good, all-powerful creator, that comes up in relation to SMT.
Wow, okay, so pretty deep stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the series itself, some perceive it as, let me find the quote, a dungeon crawler series with a rather minimalist presentation, low cosmic stakes, and light role-playing elements, which is, you know, one interpretation. And users even talk about wanting a Megaton derivative that focuses more on role-playing and demon summoning. They know exactly what they want.
It sounds like it. And then there's Genshin Impact, which seems to really divide opinion. It gets praised for having cool stuff mechanically, but at the same time, it's dismissed with that pretty harsh phrase, gacha and waifu gooner game, referring to the loot box mechanics and the character designs, I guess.
Right. The monetization and the character appeal seem to be sticking points for some.
Yeah. And one user even says it's paradoxically trivially weird to support Genshin Impact in these trying times, whatever that means. Fighting games get a look in too. Lots of different preferences mentioned. Titles like Fighting Vipers, DOA, VF2, Tekken 2, and Skullgirls. And Skullgirls seems particularly controversial. It gets labeled woke by some, but then others defend its origins using this really intense phrase, based in Trev, doubly weird, horny, autist core. Oh, apparently there's even a Fight for the Past meta version. Lots going on there.
Definitely a game with a complex history and reception. Moving towards user-generated stuff, we see mentions of AI slop for images, like someone generating an elf waifu. So AI content is definitely part of the conversation. And also those big collaborative pixel art projects like Where Plays, Pixel Planet, W Plays, you know, those huge online canvases where everyone places one pixel at a time to make these giant pictures together.
Oh yeah, those are wild. They can get pretty intense.
Intense is one word. One user says they always attract the largest mass of autism, which, you know, highlights both the incredible creativity that can happen, but also maybe the overwhelming, sometimes chaotic side of those massive online collaborations.
For sure. And speaking of user content, there's that really detailed review of the Fantastic Four First Steps movie someone posted. It's almost like a stream of consciousness thing. The reviewer notes seeing an evil Indian on TV makes observations about the number of teleporters in different continents and hilariously recounts asking for a Mr. Pibb and getting a Dr. Pepper instead. It's just a perfect example of that raw fan-driven media criticism mixes real observations with totally random personal stuff.
Yeah. Unfiltered is definitely the word for a lot of this thread.
Okay. This brings us to the next section, which deals with some more challenging aspects of the source material. And we really want to be clear here. Our role is just to report impartially on what's in the content provided. We're not endorsing any of these viewpoints ourselves. You're going to hear about some highly charged discussions that definitely reflect certain segments of online thinking.
Yeah, and putting it in context, these discussions, while frankly often disturbing, they do show that raw, unmoderated expression of various ideologies, sometimes extreme ones, that exist in these online spaces.
Yeah.
We're just relaying the ideas found in the source material itself. For instance, you see these starkly contrasting views on Russia, really polar opposites. Some posts just state, Stalin won, or I hope Russia wins, just flat out. But then other users condemn Russia in the strongest terms, calling it the most vile, nauseatingly disgusting country and a historical curse of mankind. The source also includes specific allegations, like deportations, and mentions alleged war crimes, like Russian soldiers shooting a civilian from Bucha or looting a supermarket.
It's jarring to see those extremes side by side. The thread also dives into some explicit commentary around identity, gender, sexuality. Users discuss Gen Z being literally yearning with gender and sexuality.
Yeah.
And they use specific, sometimes very niche terms like male lesbian FTM or D-trans amo lesbian. There's also, unfortunately, a noticeable amount of just derogatory and inflammatory language used in these discussions.
Yeah.
And debates around things like cis porn.
Women.
And it goes further. There's some highly inflammatory and discriminatory content present, reflecting really extremist views and conspiracy theories. Explicit anti-Semitic viewpoints are expressed. The term Zoe world comes up. That's the Zionist occupation government conspiracy theory. There are accusations of Jewish nepotism and even calls for the Jewish faith to need serious reformation. It's quite explicit.
Yeah. And the narrative even pulls in pop culture, claiming Indiana Jones is a crypto-Jewish superhero, somehow linked to Jewish esotericists.
Mm.
We also see clear instances of racism. One post says, racism against Indians isn't cool, but it's immediately followed by these incredibly offensive racist comments using slurs like Jeets and talking about culling them.
That juxtaposition is really something. The denial immediately followed by the act. There are also these cynical takes on things like punch a Nazi scenarios and broader criticisms aimed at hyper-conservatism and the far right, particularly about their proposed solutions to problems. One user sums it up, maybe sarcastically, maybe not, as basically needing to cull a bunch of people and further industrialize.
Grim stuff.
Yeah. And what's particularly striking, almost ironic, is that woven into all this, there are these meta discussions, people talking about being immune to propaganda or the need to question everything. But these comments often appear right alongside the expression of incredibly biased extreme views. It shows this really fascinating, maybe troubling dynamic in online discourse, you know, the gap between perceived self-awareness and actual expression.
That disconnect is definitely noticeable throughout the thread.
So after wading through all that, what does this all mean for you listening? Our deep dive into this one online thread, it really reveals a kind of paradox, doesn't it? A community that started around a pretty niche webcomic becomes this completely uncurated reflection of incredibly diverse, often clashing perspectives on politics, pop culture, personal identity, everything.
It really does underscore the complexity of these modern online spaces. It's quite something. You have these detailed, passionate fan projects existing right alongside highly inflammatory social commentary. Genuine passion can get tangled up with really extreme views. It shows how fragmented our digital conversations are, but also how interconnected in unexpected ways.
Yeah, exactly. And it really prompts you to consider, doesn't it? In this era where information just spreads like wildfire and communities kind of self-organize online, how do we as observers or even as participants navigate these spaces? How do we find the genuine connection, the shared interest amongst all the noise and frankly, the vitriol sometimes? And maybe more importantly, what does the unfiltered nature of these digital melting pots truly tell us about the bigger cultural currents that might be simmering just beneath the surface of the internet? Something to think about.